Hello, everyone. We are continuing with J.C. Ryle's book, Holiness. And last time we continued in chapter 20, which is called Christ is All. And the verse he uses is Colossians 3:11, which includes Christ is All in it. And the last time we did overall section 3, Christ is All is the religion of all true Christians. And that brought us up to section 4, where we left off last time. And Lord willing, we're going to continue with that for this time. And I'll go ahead and start. It's entitled, Christ Will Be All in Heaven. Mr. Ryle says, one thing more I will add, and then I am done. Let us understand that Christ will be all in heaven. I cannot dwell long on this point. I have not power. If I had space and room, I can ill describe things unseen and a world unknown. But this I know, that all men and women who reach heaven will find that even there also Christ is all. Like the altar in Solomon's temple, Christ crucified will be the grand object in heaven. That altar struck the eye of everyone who entered the temple gates. It was a great brazen altar, 20 cubits broad as the front of the temple itself, 2 Chronicles 3, verse 4, and chapter 4, verse 1. So in like manner will Jesus fill the eyes of all who enter glory. In the midst of the throne and surrounded by adoring angels and saints, there will be the Lamb that was slain, and the Lamb shall be the light of the place, Revelation 5, verse 6, and Revelation 21, 23. The praise of the Lord Jesus will be the eternal song of all the inhabitants of heaven. They will say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever, Revelation 5, verses 12 to 13. The service of the Lord Jesus will be one eternal occupation of all the inhabitants of heaven. We shall serve him day and night in his temple, Revelation 7, verse 15. Blessed is the thought that we shall at length attend on him without distraction and work for him without weariness. The presence of Christ himself shall be one everlasting enjoyment of the inhabitants of heaven. We shall see his face and hear his voice and speak with him as friend with friend, Revelation 22, verse 4. Sweet is the thought that whosoever may be wanting at the marriage supper, the Master himself will be there. His presence will satisfy all our wants. Psalm 17, verse 15. What a sweet and glorious home heaven will be to those who have loved the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Here we live by faith in him and find peace, though we see him not. There we shall see him face to face and find he is altogether lovely. Better, indeed will be, the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire, Ecclesiastes 6, verse 9. But alas, how little fit for heaven are many who talk of going to heaven when they die, while they manifestly have no saving faith and no real acquaintance with Christ. You give Christ no honor here. You have no communion with him. You do not love him. Alas, what could you do in heaven? It would be no place for you. Its joys would be no joys for you. Its happiness would be a happiness into which you could not enter. Its employments would be a weariness and a burden to your heart. Oh, repent and change before it be too late. I trust I have shown how deep are the fountains of that little expression, Christ is all. And that's the end of overall section 4, Christ will be all in heaven. In the next overall section, other ways Christ is all. I might easily add to the things I have said, if space permitted. The subject is not exhausted. I have barely walked over the surface of it. There are mines of precious truth connected with it, which I have left unopened. I might show how Christ ought to be all in a visible church. Splendid religious buildings, numerous religious services, gorgeous ceremonies, troops of ordained men, all are nothing in the sight of God if the Lord Jesus himself in all his offices is not honored, magnified, and exalted. That church is but a dead carcass in which Christ is not all. I might show how Christ ought to be all in a ministry. The great work which ordained men are intended to do is to lift up Christ. We are to be like the pole on which the brazen serpent was hung. We are useful so long as we exalt the great object of faith, but useful no further. We are to be ambassadors to carry tidings to a rebellious world about the King's Son. And if we teach men to think more about us and our office than about him, we are not fit for our place. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will never honor that minister who does not testify of Christ, who does not make Christ all. I might show how language seems exhausted in the Bible in describing Christ's various offices. I might describe how figures seem endless which are employed in unfolding Christ's fullness. The high priest, the mediator, the redeemer, the savior, the advocate, the shepherd, the physician, the bridegroom, the head, the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the door, the vine, the rock, the fountain, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the forerunner, the surety, the captain, the Prince of Life, the Amen, the Almighty, the author and finisher of faith, the Lamb of God, the King of Saints, the Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Counselor, the Bishop of Souls. All these, and many more, are names given to Christ in Scripture. Each is a fountain of instruction and comfort for everyone who is willing to drink of it. Each supplies matter for useful meditation. And that's the end of that section, overall section, Other Ways Christ is All. And that brings us to overall section, Practical Conclusions. Mr. Ryle says, "But I trust I have said enough to throw light on the point I want to impress on the minds of all who read this paper. I trust I have said enough to show the immense importance of the practical conclusions with which I now desire to finish the subject." Is subpoint number one, utter uselessness of a Christless religion. Is Christ all? Then let us learn the utter uselessness of a Christless religion. There are only too many baptized men and women who practically know nothing at all about Christ. Their religion consists in a few vague notions and empty expressions. They trust they are no worse than others. They keep to their church. They try to do their duty. They do nobody any harm. They hope God will be merciful to them. They trust the Almighty will pardon their sins and take them to heaven when they die. This is about the whole of their religion. But what do these people know practically about Christ? Nothing, nothing at all. What experimental acquaintance have they with his offices and work, his blood, his righteousness, his mediation, his priesthood, his intercession? None, none at all. Ask them about a saving faith, ask them about being born again of the Spirit, and ask them about being sanctified in Christ Jesus. What answer will you get? You are a barbarian to them. You have asked them simple Bible questions, but they know no more about them experimentally than a Buddhist or a Turk. And yet this is the religion of hundreds and thousands of people who are called Christians all over the world. If any reader of this paper is a man of this kind, I warn him plainly that such Christianity will never take him to heaven. It may do very well in the eye of man. It may pass muster very decently at the vestry meeting, in the place of business, in the House of Commons, or in the streets. But it will never comfort you. It will never satisfy your conscience. It will never save your soul. I warn you plainly that all notions and theories about God being merciful without Christ and accepting through Christ, and making an exception through Christ, are baseless delusions and empty fancies. Such theories are as purely an idol, I-D-O-L, of man's invention as the idol of a juggernaut. They are all of the earth, earthy. They never came down from heaven. The God of heaven has sealed and appointed Christ as the one only Savior and way of life, and all who would be saved must be content to be saved by him, or they will never be saved at all. Let every reader take notice. I give you fair warning this day. A religion without Christ will never save your soul. Subpoint 2, Christ and salvation. Let me say another thing. Is Christ all? Then learn the enormous folly of joining anything with Christ in the matter of salvation. There are multitudes of baptized men and women who profess to honor Christ, but in reality do him great dishonor. They give Christ a certain place in their system of religion, but not in the place which God intended him to fill. Christ alone is not all in all to their souls, Ephesians 1:23. No. It is either Christ and the church, or Christ and the sacraments, or Christ and his ordained ministers, or Christ and their own repentance. Not that repentance isn't required, but that doesn't merit you anything. Or Christ and their own goodness, or Christ and their own prayers, or Christ and their own sincerity and charity on which they practically rest their souls. And that's the point, is they rest all those things plus Christ, or any of those things plus Christ, rest their souls on that. If any reader of this paper is a Christian of this kind, I warn him also plainly that his religion is an offense to God. You are changing God's plan of salvation into a plan of your own devising. You are, in effect, deposing Christ from his throne by giving the glory due to him to another. I care not who it is that teaches such religion and on whose word you build, whether he be a pope or cardinal, archbishop or bishop, dean or archdeacon, presbyter or deacon, Episcopalian or Presbyterian, Baptist or independent, Wesleyan or Plymouth brother. Whosoever adds anything to Christ teaches you wrong. I care not what it is that you add to Christ, whether it be the necessity of joining the Church of Rome, or of being an Episcopalian, or of becoming a free churchman, or of giving up the liturgy, or of being dipped. Whatever you may practically add to Christ in the matter of salvation, you do Christ an injury. Now take heed what you are doing. Beware of giving to Christ's servants the honor due to none but Christ. Beware of giving the Lord's ordinances the honor due unto the Lord. Beware of resting the burden of your soul on anything but Christ and Christ alone. And that's the point of that. Subpoint 3, Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, let me say another thing. Is Christ all? Then let all who want to be saved apply direct to Christ. There are many who hear of Christ with the ear and believe all they are told about him. They allow that there is no salvation excepting in Christ, but in Christ. They acknowledge that Jesus alone can deliver them from hell and present them faultless before God. But they seem never to get beyond this general acknowledgement. They never fairly or completely lay hold on Christ for their own souls. They stick fast in a state of wishing and wanting and feeling and intending and never get any further. They see what we mean. They know it is all true. They hope one day to get full benefit of it, but at present they get no benefit whatever. The world is their all. Politics are their all. Pleasure is their all. Business is their all. But Christ is not their all. If any reader of this paper is a man of this kind, I warn him also plainly, he is in a bad state of soul. You are as truly in the way to hell in your present condition as Judas Iscariot, or Ahab, or Cain. Believe me, there must be actual faith in Christ, or else Christ died in vain so far as you are concerned. It is not looking at the bread that feeds the hungry man, but the actual eating of it. It is not gazing on the lifeboat that saves the shipwrecked sailor, but actually getting into it. It is not knowing and believing that Christ is a Savior that can save your soul, unless there are actual transactions between you and Christ. You must be able to say, Christ is my Savior, because I have come to him by faith and taken him for my own. Luther said, and this is a quote, much of religion turns on being able to use possessive pronouns. Take from me the word my, and you take from me God, end quote. Hear the advice I give you this day and act upon it at once. Stand still, no longer waiting for some imaginary feelings which will never come. Hesitate no longer under the ideas you must first of all obtain the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then come to Christ. Arise and come to Christ just as you are. He waits for you and is as willing to save as he is mighty. He is the appointed physician for sin-sick souls. Deal with him as you would with your doctor about the cure of a disease of your body. Make a direct application to him and tell him all your wants or lacks or desires. Take with you words this day and cry mightily to the Lord Jesus for pardon and peace as the thief did on the cross. Do as that man did, cry, Lord, remember me, Luke 23, verse 42. Tell him you have heard that he receives sinners and that you are such. Tell him you want to be saved and ask him to save you. Rest not till you have actually tasted for yourself that the Lord is gracious. Do this, and you shall find, sooner or later, if you are really in earnest, that Christ is all. And subpoint 4 is a trust Christ far more. He says, one more thing let me add. Is Christ all? Then let all his converted people deal with him as if they really believed it. Let them lean on him and trust him far more than they have ever done yet. Alas, there are many of the Lord's people who live far below their privileges. There are many true Christian souls who rob themselves of their own peace and forsake their own mercies. There are many who insensibly join their own faith or the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in their own hearts to Christ, and so miss the fullness of gospel peace. There are many who make little progress in their pursuit of holiness and shine with a very dim light. And why is all this? Simply because in 19 cases out of 20 men, they do not make Christ all in all. Now I call on every person who is a believer, I beseech him for his own sake, to make sure that Christ is really and thoroughly his all in all. Beware of allowing yourself to mingle anything of your own with Christ. See Matthew 16:24 and Luke 14, verse 33. Have you faith? It is a priceless blessing. Happy indeed are they who are willing and ready to trust Jesus. But take heed, you do not make a Christ of your faith. Rest not on your own faith, but on Christ. Is the work of the Spirit in your soul? Thank God for it. It is a work that shall never be overthrown. But oh, beware, lest unaware to yourself, you make a Christ of the work of the Spirit. Rest not on the work of the Spirit, but on Christ. Now, have you any inward feelings of religion and experience of grace? Thank God for it. Thousands have no more religious feeling than a cat or a dog. But oh, beware lest you make a Christ of your feelings and sensations. They are poor, uncertain things, and sadly dependent on our bodies and outward circumstances. Rest only on Christ. Learn, I entreat you, to look more and more at the great object of faith, Jesus Christ, and to keep your mind dwelling on Him. So doing, you would find that faith and all the other graces grows, though the growth at the time might be imperceptible to yourself. He that would prove a skillful archer must not look at the arrow, but at the mark. Alas, I fear there is a great piece of pride and unbelief still sticking in the hearts of many believers. Few seem to realize how much they need a Savior. Few seem to understand how thoroughly they are indebted to Him. Few seem to comprehend how much they need Him every day. Few seem to feel how simply and like a child they ought to hang their souls on Him. Few seem to be aware how full of love He is to His poor, weak people and how ready to help them. And few, therefore, seem to know the peace and joy and strength and power to live a godly life which is to be had in Christ. Change your plan, reader. If your conscience tells you that you are guilty, change your plan and learn to trust Christ more. Physicians love to see patients coming to consult them. It is their office to receive the sickly and, if possible, to effect cures. The advocate loves to be employed. It is his calling. The husband loves his wife to trust him and lean on him. It is his delight to cherish her and promote her comfort. And Christ loves His people to lean on Him, to rest in Him, to call on Him, and to abide in Him. Let us all learn and strive to do so more and more. Let us live on Christ. Let us live in Christ. Let us live with Christ, and let us live to Christ. So doing, we shall prove that we fully realize that Christ is all. So doing, we shall feel great peace and attain more of that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14. All right, that brings us to the end of the practical conclusions section and brings us to the end of chapter 20, Christ is all, and brings us up to chapter 21, which is called Extracts from Old Writers. But we're going to go ahead and stop there for this time, and then, Lord willing, proceed with that the next time. But until then, go seeking to make sure Christ is all in all to you. If unsaved, that you seek Him until He grant Himself and salvation and pardon and washing in his blood. And if you are his, that you seek him to help you grow more and more each day in him and living for him and with him. And may we seek him constantly until he grant that. And he will in no wise cast us out. And thank him for that. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.